The Shopify 2023 winter update is here, and there are some major updates and changes for dropshippers. It's Joe and Mike, buildassetsonline.com, and we're going to walk you through them right now. So, all right. How's it going, Mike?
It's going good. I skimmed through this list, actually, before we decided to talk about it, and it's actually going to be pretty crazy. So we're going to go through the entire set of updates Shopify is going to roll out for Shopify Plus, for regular Shopify people, and we're going to see how it impacts dropshipping.
So this is the page you could check out at shopify.com/edition/winter2023. And there's 9 major points which they set out to cover. Boost conversions, sell across channels, go global, expand with B2B, find and engage customers, fulfill and deliver, run your business, build with us, don't know what that means, and choose your components. So let's get into the nitty gritty of each of these. So boost conversions. Let's see what they are doing here.
Well, so the first one you just missed, Joe, is they're claiming they're going to be impacting page speed, lightning fast page loads everywhere. So infrastructure, incredibly fast experience, blah, 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 blah. Businesses are seeing their sites respond twice as fast. So in my opinion, this is actually a major, major thing, because site speed and responsiveness is not just an important feature for a customer that lands on your website, because in the days of low attention span, if the site doesn't load, if it doesn't respond, people just click away. So there's that aspect of it, the conversion rate aspect, but there's also the aspect of site speed with SEO.
Right. SEO and ad quality score all are impacted by site speed, especially with Google's core web vitals. But one thing that's interesting here is that, so before I found it, and I know a lot of other people found it, very difficult to have such a great amount of control over your site speed metrics, especially when it came to core web vitals on Google. Now, the thing is like on WordPress or on other platforms, it was really easy to use like CDNs, like for example, NitroPack or like Cloudflare. They all have CDNs, which are kind of seeded all around the globe, and it makes load time super, super fast. So there were a couple different aspects. Like I couldn't add like NitroPack, you know, people have differing opinions on it, but the core web vitals as a result of NitroPack for all of our niche sites are always really, really good. But that was not something I could replicate easily with Shopify. And I believe that this was actually a big part of the reason, just because they probably didn't have enough places where the site could load from, you know, all over the world and all over the United States. So, you know, you could do as much stuff to the code as you want, but, you know, hopefully this will make a big difference in that, because our Shopify sites are kind of like, I would say, our slowest websites. So we'll see, Joe, what this brings.
To summarize, people, what is, what'd you call it? Google Vital?
Google Core Web Vitals.
Yeah. What is that? What is a CDN?
Well, CDN is a content delivery network, which is basically just means like, say, you know, you're in a different, like to get a website, your computer has to ping a server, which basically sends the website back to you. I'm not really that super techie here, but a CDN, you know, allows for things to be delivered from a closer location. It's called a content delivery network. So, you know, say the server is located far from my house, there could be a CDN closer to me that'll deliver the content. Listen, I'm not a techie expert like that, but that's the best explanation I can give. And Core Web Vitals are basically a bunch of, there's a lot of different metrics, again, pretty highly technical, that Google gives to a website to basically assess how fast it loads. If you just Google Core Web Vitals, you can plug your website into there, and it kind of shows all the different things that it evaluates. You know, it kind of evaluates how bulky is your code, how fast is the first piece of content load on the page. So there's so many different metrics. I don't think we should bother going over all of them here, and I don't know all of them off the top of my head.
Right, but for some people, that was probably the first time they ever heard those terms. But really what you need to know is that, yeah, if you're going to be doing SEO type content on your e-commerce store, it'll help that load faster, which will help you rank in Google. It'll help your quality score when it comes to running paid ads, because quality score a huge impact of that is landing page experience, and landing page experience obviously is factored in with how fast the page loads. And just for the factor of conversion rate, people want pages to load fast. They want a responsive experience, or else they're going to bounce.
Yeah.
So that's that. And then this one I found to be very, very interesting because, Joe, we use Shopify Plus for one of our stores. And a big reason of, you know, getting into Shopify Plus was the ability to customize checkout and just to have more flexibility when it comes to.
So we're talking, we're talking about this one page checkout feature, which they have displayed here.
But so this is now they're expanding this one page checkout, which is basically an additional checkout option or a checkout configuration for, it seems like, all customers.
Right. It allows you to skip the cart, basically. Is, you know, you add something to cart. Let's just look at it again. So we're on this page, you add to cart, and then something pops up.
There's a sliding cart, but really the issue here, the difference is on regular Shopify, you have to put in your shipping information, and then you go to the next page, and then it's like, okay, what shipping option do you want? Do you want ground? Do you want expedited? And then you go to a third page where you put in your card info and your billing info.
Right.
So it's collapsing three pages into one page, and it's saying basically this is kind of what it is when you use Shop Pay, which I don't know if you've ever used that.
Like, I do use it. It's pretty, I mean, it's very convenient on websites where it's available.
Yeah, no, it's way better. It's almost like Amazon level speed and convenience of checkout. And so I guess they're just taking that and applying that now to your regular.
Yeah. So if you're going to use Shop Pay, you're still using Shop Pay, but this kind of makes the manual checkout, like you're typing in all the information, more seamless because it's all on one page and it's, you know, you don't have to go through three pages of stuff, which very good change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Less friction for customers. I mean, if they say that it's proven, I guess this is something that I think should be tested, and not everybody can really just like do an A/B test on their store, but I'd be interested to see that because on one hand, I would argue that like one page, people might just go there and then, you know, like they're prompting them to make the purchase decision right there, which could either be good or bad. Because sometimes you put the shipping information, all right, you're still feeling it out. You select your shipping thing, and then boom, you're at like the final stage. Like you've taken these little micro commitments to get to the last page. And also, I'd be interested to see how this impacts abandoned checkouts, because usually when someone, they enter in the shipping info, they go to the next page, they automatically become an abandoned checkout, which is huge for email automations and calling people and all that stuff. So will that go away with this, or will it automatically populate once they enter in the information? Does it become an abandoned checkout? We'll have to see
What happens there. One thing that comes to my mind, Mike, and we had this kind of same experience when we signed up for Shopify Plus, which was a while ago at this point, but we've signed up for Shopify Plus on two stores. And when you do that, there's a salesperson and they always walk you through these case studies. They go, oh, this site, they did this, this, and this, and they improved their conversions by such and such and their revenue by this amount. But in their examples and in this little demonstration video here, it's always a low ticket item.
Yeah.
Always, 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 always. And yeah, I think your point is very well taken, that if you have a high ticket store, like we recommend you do, if you're going to get into drop shipping and e-commerce, I'm curious to see how it would affect this. I don't think the effect could be too drastic, but yeah, they're always going with these low ticket examples in all their demos and all their sales materials.
Right. The demographic that Shopify, I guess, places all of their users under, like people that make Shopify stores, the average order values are always just so ridiculously low.
Yeah.
That it's just, I feel like we don't.
Are we in the category? Well, the main store we have now, that's definitely in the, we get that message that it's in the 1%, right, of all Shopify stores.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't recall that message.
Yeah. Maybe. Never mind. All right, so let's move down. Drag and drop editor. Easily edit the look of your checkout with this new checkout editor, which seamlessly integrates to Shop Pay. Pay for a consistent brand and buyer experience exclusive to Shopify Plus. So yeah, this is something that we're going to have access to, which should be pretty nice because we are doing A/B testing right now on our product page, but we're not doing much with the checkout page, are we, Mike?
No, and a big issue there is even though you upgrade to Shopify Plus and you get access to edit your checkout code, every time that there's an update to Shopify, you're going to have to manually update your checkout because they don't, if you're putting in random stuff in there, they don't want to go and like update that page for you. And then you have a checkout issue and that's like the worst thing you could have. So this is actually amazing because now it seems like you could edit the checkout without having to go into that situation where you have to now manually update your checkout every time Shopify rolls out an update.
Yeah, and definitely much easier to do as well, which I'm happy. I hate the fact that you pay so much for Shopify Plus, and then you need to hire a developer if you want to edit your checkout properly.
That's a huge thing too. Shopify Plus, I think we can make a separate video on this, but in a lot of ways, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
And especially in the way in their sales pitch, because yeah. They're like, oh, you're going to get a dedicated specialist for this. You get a dedicated specialist for this. And it's just absolute nonsense. Because once you actually are in the program, they don't contact you at all to like do any of these things. Like, yeah, someone will be there to make sure your conversion rate is good, make sure your page is good, make sure your marketing is good. And they just leave you out to dry once you actually get into the program. And you can contact these people and say, hey, should I do something? But we've done this. You know, we booked a call with like, I don't know if it was like a conversion, someone on their conversion rate team or whatever. And they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of just going off of what they're trained on, which is you know, kind of what you'd expect. The main reason you'd get it is for the reduced fees.
Right.
But yeah, we should do a review video on that.
Reduced fees, and I think just the fact that you are able to kind of skip the line when it comes to getting support is big for us. So
yeah, that is a big deal because yeah, they've helped, especially, you know, their support agent, their Plus support agents. We've had problems where we sell a store and the 1099 is messed up because it didn't get converted to the new buyer or the new owner or whatever, or got converted wrong or had the wrong EIN number. The Shopify 1099 system is kind of annoying, especially when you're selling stores a lot. But yeah, I don't have a problem really chewing the ear off my Shopify Plus specialist. But look, you know, we pay all this money, even though it's a different thing, like have someone contact us to get this taken care of as soon as possible.
Right. So that's that. Majority of people watching this probably aren't on Shopify Plus. But
yeah,
it's okay.
So add apps to checkout, customize your checkout to include things like additional fields, product offers, loyalty programs. Mm. So that's interesting. I feel like we've wanted to do some of this stuff all the year. Like, you know, we can add, hold on.
Yeah, like having an upsell like after someone buys, like on the actual order confirmation page, you should be able to have an upsell right there, like a click to buy type thing. And yeah, Shopify is way behind on that aspect because if you look at some like ClickFunnels or any of those types of apps, like they're built to do stuff like that and extract that extra order value. Yeah,
that's pretty interesting. I like that a lot, actually. So I think we're definitely going to be doing a lot of stuff in this area once it's released. Yeah. Because with high ticket drop shipping, which again, that's the best way to get started doing anything with Shopify. You know, upsells aren't really a thing as much as if you're doing low ticket, but they definitely can be. So I'm not going to go crazy to set those up, but if I have a well-established business and I see people often buy, you know, certain two things together or whatever, you know, you don't have the same order volume as a low ticket store, so you have much less information, but still, I think it's definitely something that if it's there, you should be doing it.
Right. So now build trust with Shop Promise. Communicate reliable, fast delivery by installing the Shop Channel and adding the Shop Promise badge and delivery dates to your store. So display smart delivery dates predicted by Shopify that are backed by a limited guarantee for your customers if they're missed. So I want to see what that limited guarantee is, because with high ticket dropshipping, really the main problem is that, you know, you're number one, you're dropshipping. So you're reliant on other warehouses to ship for you. And in this day and age, you know, like people that do say like low ticket dropshipping, they're shipping in from China and it's going to be, you know, similar delivery times across the board. They're not going to be ideal, but they're going to be similar.
Well, that's a ship. I mean, there's shipping delays all the time with low ticket drop shipping. I mean, what are you talking about, Mike? Don't you remember that year I got the mermaid blanket for my wife? I ordered it from AliExpress and it said it was going to be here in 14 days, but it came like 4 months later. So right, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't think, I mean, whether you're doing high ticket drop shipping or low ticket drop shipping, just because of the nature that you don't have a warehouse that you manage that's shipping it, you know, the delivery promises are not going to be the easiest thing.
Right. The point I was trying to make was like with smaller items, typically the warehouse fulfillment is a lot more streamlined because boom, someone ordered this, pack it, fill it, whatever. But like with, you know, high ticket drop shipping, what makes it good is that it's just regular people, regular companies in the US, but at the same time, okay, they were supposed to get a shipment in of, you know, their tubs and then it didn't come in. And then, you know, Joe Schmo didn't email you that it didn't come in. So you didn't know, or, you know, somebody was out sick and then they didn't pack the tub and ship it. It's like, there's like little random things that are based on human error that can impact ship time, especially because it's also, you have a lot of freight shipments with high ticket drop shipping. So that's why I'm saying, I want to see what the limited guarantee is, because guaranteeing delivery for a freight shipment is virtually impossible. Also by the fact that you have to make a delivery appointment. So they're going to say, hey, are you around this day to get it? No. Are you around this day to get it? No. So that's going to impact it right there. So,
right.
Yeah. I wonder what that's going to be, but
definitely
if there's a way to have the badge without guaranteeing delivery time, then that's a huge, huge plus again for conversion rate. People want to see badges.
Yeah.
They don't care what they are. They want to see badges.
Well, this next thing I really like, signed in shopping with Shop. This is really interesting that rather than just doing it from the checkout, it looks like they'll let you sign in to a Shopify website with Shop Pay, which is really interesting. Yeah. So it looks like, you know, say someone's on your dropshipping store, they go to their account and it's kind of, maybe they're linking accounts across all Shopify stores. Not totally sure what they mean by this.
Well, we don't even really do accounts on our stores just because it's kind of unnecessary. Like we like to make things less friction, you know, less friction. So you want something, just go and buy it versus you got to sign in, you got to do all these things. Maybe that has value, but we never really.
Right. Well, it seems like with this, if they have a Shop account, they kind of automatically have an account.
Right.
Which is nice. I like that a lot.
Right. So, yeah, we can explore Shop sign-in features, but I don't know if we want to get that deep into it right now. But at the end of the day, anything that involves Shop Pay, I'm very, very for, because it is kind of the Amazon Prime of e-commerce.
Yeah,
and that's even what they're trying to do with that badge there, like guaranteed 2-day delivery. That's Amazon's whole claim to fame, right? You know when you're going to get it. The shipping times are fast. The shipping times are accurate. And we can't always offer that with high ticket drop shipping, just again, because it's freight, because it's not at a crazy fulfillment warehouse like Amazon has. But
So let's keep going. There's four little things here that I think are good. We don't have to get into them too much. So they're going to better optimize your image for site speed and conversion rates. You could choose focal points on images so products show up front and center. We usually like to square all our images, so I'm not sure how that would play in. So you can better edit the header and footer of your themes. Extend your theme with custom CSS so you can add CSS to your theme without going into the code editor, which is really nice. So, you know, you could say like, oh, this is a div on all my product pages and I want to make the text in here bold. So you could just edit the CSS right in the theme editor, which seems nice. And they're adding some more colors, so not much to talk about there. This one is interesting, Mike. AI generated storefront content.
Holy cannoli.
So this is the big buzzword, AI generated content. Which, you know,
this,
I don't hate
this, Joe.
No, I don't hate it. I think it's, I'm looking at what's on the screen here. So they're adding portable, dimmable, like they're adding all these attributes about this lamp. And it's writing a pretty good sentence about it, or paragraph rather.
Right. And I think a lot of issues with high ticket dropshipping, like some suppliers, their product descriptions leave a lot to be desired. Yeah. So, and you can't have a VA do this because most VAs aren't fluent in English grammar and that great of writers. So this was a little bit of a conundrum. And I think this could actually solve this situation, because we used to sell this bar, and the supplier, like, they literally, it was the worst product description ever. It was like maybe less than 200 words, if that. But now you can turn that into something more descriptive. You can put in your target demographic. You can put in all these things. You know, if you put in 5 keywords of your own, you're going to be able to come up with a unique product description. And what I would do to make it, maybe take it a step beyond, is you can probably pay someone to format this in a bit of a nicer way, and then have a nice table with the specs, and then boom, you're good to go.
Yeah. 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 That's pretty cool. So better built-in search recommendations. So improved search relevance, ensures popular products are highlighted. Misspellings can still return the right results, better yield the customer's intent. So they're improving basically the search functionality within Shopify, which is, you know, always good. Not much to say about
Empire theme, which I, at the time, they had like their own search. We used to have to pay money for like a search engine within our store.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now Shopify has their own that's automatically built in.
Yeah. I guess so. Yeah. I mean, they just look, I guess they improve on there. I mean, I'm wondering if this is going to apply to the back end search as well, because I feel like the back end search is not that great.
Yeah. I just like some of the back end search stuff. It's like, I try to search for like a, I don't know, try to search for an order, and then it showed me a bunch of products, and it's like kind of a pain in the ass sometimes, but.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, that's good. If they're putting more into this, I think should be good across the board. Customize your store with meta objects, create reusable custom content, like a shoppable gallery, product highlights, cart upsells, more meta objects, draft, edit, translate, and reference your meta objects directly within your online store editor. Use the storefront API to seamlessly pull content to your custom storefront. Oh, I see. So you basically, you know, say you have. Yeah, I guess they're just making it easier to drag and drop different elements to different areas of your store. Which, you know, if you inside our course, I recently put out a video talking about the gold standard of product page design, and how there's, you know, we look at a site that I consider to be the gold standard, and I kind of go over all the different elements that they have within each page, the collection page, the product page, blah, blah, blah. So it's nice that this might make it a little easier to really add the elements that are going to help build trust with customers and increase your conversion rate.
Yeah, this honestly, stuff on like the homepage, I don't really care too much about, because the majority of people are going to land on your product page because you're running paid advertising. So, you know, that's cool. Now we get into some of this other stuff that I think is kind of irrelevant.
Yeah, I was seeing how long we have to go.
Yeah, this is a lot of stuff. Over 100 updates they rolled out, it seems.
Yeah.
So now they're talking about, and some of this stuff, you know, people have direct to consumer stores. Some people have different types of websites on Shopify. They're not all just dropshippers like us, but product bundles could be interesting.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to create those manually in the past. Now it lets you just
You could create an item. You can create a product inside the Shopify store that's built off of other products.
Wow, that's pretty cool actually. So. Say you had a store selling bars and you know, you could have a page, you know, yeah, like select your bar stool. It could be like entire home bar setup product.
Yeah, this actually used to be a bit of a hack, because if you say you had a bar and you had bar stools, those product pages are separate. They have separate SKUs, separate UPCs and stuff. And then if you kind of combine them into one product page, you're creating a bit of a new product. And if you get that on Google Shopping, it was a bit of a hack back in the day because it would be able to rank and kind of stand alone. But now it seems like you can kind of just do this by combining products, which I think is actually really cool. But we'll see how that impacts. Really, the issue with this was, number one, scalability. And number two, these products don't really show well in Google Shopping because they're essentially custom products in Google's eyes. And Google doesn't like showing a custom product. Google wants to show a product that it knows the brand. It knows exactly what it is based on the SKU, based on the, the barcode and stuff. So,
yeah.
But otherwise, this is actually something really cool. And it makes it a lot more scalable to do these unique bundles, which can set you aside from other competitors.
Yeah. So apparently they're doing stuff with discount codes as well, where you can combine discount codes. I don't really think there's much to talk about with that. But create channel-specific discounts where you can offer discounts across channels like Google, Facebook, and Instagram, which is pretty
interesting. Is that if they're buying on the sales channel itself or like?
I don't know. Subscription APIs. I don't know much about that. We don't have any subscription stuff with Shopify. Shopify payments available in France. Shout out to all our French viewers out there. Oui, bonjour. I know you're there.
We are big in France.
Yeah, we're huge in France.
Anyway, deferred PayPal, whatever. We're done with PayPal.
PayPal sucks. Sell across channels. Sell in person, on social, online, or with deeply integrated sales channels. Be everywhere your customers are and easily manage from one platform. So this shows, I think it shows like a YouTube video.
You can buy right on YouTube.
Yeah, and you can buy right on YouTube, which pretty interesting.
I'll have to see how that – they're not really showing somebody buying on
– Well, there's a buy now button, I guess, that you can have pop up on your YouTube channel or within the live chat. I think that could be definitely pretty interesting.
That part is cool in person. Also, I don't really care about some of these other things. We're in our mom's basement, so I don't want to see anybody in person.
Yeah. Exactly. POS, all mobile selling hardware. So you could sell with your mobile phone. Inventory tracking, in-person checkout. Staff permissions. Hopefully, more granular staff permissions, which I think is good. They recently added the staff permissions that we want anyway, right, Mike?
Yeah, I can't believe it took them nearly 5 years since we've been on Shopify for them to have somebody that can get access to your orders without giving them access to issue refunds.
Yeah, that was something that I was asking them to do from the jump. The first person we hired, I was like, I don't want this person to be able to refund.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. And one time we asked this in like a dropshipping Facebook group. We're like, has anybody found a workaround for this? And they're like, have better trust for your employees. Get out of here, bro.
Yeah, so now go global. They're going to be – they could translate stuff.
Damn.
Market pros. So going to be offload international tax filing. Curious to see what they're going to do with tax filing. Right now we use TaxJar to file in a number of states automatically. So I don't think they're going to be taking over that, but, curious to see what they do. Expand with B2B. What is this? Quantity rules, customer specific publishing.
This stuff, I don't know if I care about too much. We've sold a lot B2C. We've sold a lot B2B. And I think people don't understand that they realistically operate in the same way when it comes to like dropshipping. You could sell. Well,
this Mike, it seems to be the main functionality here. Seems to be, sorry to cut you off. I'm just talking about the video. Seems to be specific to small items like buying in bulk.
Right. Exactly. If you're selling soap, yeah, you may have a B2B you're selling the soap to Bed Bath & Beyond. Bed Bath & Beyond needs to buy 100 of them. They can go in and they can, access their pricing or whatever. In our experience doing dropshipping, we've sold to universities, we've sold to hotels, we've sold to all sorts of different B2B companies.
Crazy company. When I see some of these company names we've sold to, I'm always shocked that they would go to our store and buy something.
This is what people don't realize. I mean, we get comments in our live streams all the time. Can you dropship B2B? And it's just nonsense. They shop the same way that everybody else shops, believe it or not.
Wait. I have one more thing I want to say.
Oh, my God, Joe.
No. Wait. This is our mom is always like, you know, you should sell to Google. You should sell to Facebook. You should sell to blah, blah, blah. And the funny thing is that we actually, like, it actually does happen.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had huge, huge companies buy from us. Yeah, we got an email the other day that this really big company, they were really upset with one of the items that we had, that one of the items we sold to them, and the executives were getting very upset. And that just made me happy to know that just somewhere in California, we're pissing off these big wig executives with our products. So that's really the beauty of high ticket dropshipping, is that you can, you know, we're in so many different big companies, and you could leverage that with your, you know, you can tell people, hey, we sell to this company, we sell to this company, and it adds a lot of leverage. But again, the point I was trying to make, Joe, say, for example, you're selling patio heaters, right? And this is a real example we've had. We had like Marriott one time. They just came on the website and they bought like six of them.
Yeah.
And then boom, it's done. It's the same exact thing. Same exact thing as Marriott buying six versus some guy in his back patio in Long Island buying one.
Yeah.
So this stuff I don't really care too much.
It doesn't really apply to us here. Check out to draft. Streamline the order process for you and your business orders, gaining greater control. Oh, so I guess this is for sending people draft orders.
Yeah, but what are they even saying here? Greater control and visibility by receiving orders as a draft, allowing you to review and approve them before finalizing. This is like B2B drafting, maybe?
Yeah. Invoices on draft orders, dude. I don't know. This isn't...
Invoices and draft orders used to be the exact same thing.
No, well... Maybe people could pay a draft order and then you send them an invoice later. I don't know. I feel like we're not going to be
Yeah, we're getting into the weeds of like B2B stuff, which again, I think is just not relevant.
Yeah.
Shopify collabs.
I don't care about this.
Shopify cash. What? Capture emails with Shopify forms. See, Shopify, they have this flourishing app side of their business, and then they just go and they just steal all the best apps and they just make their own.
Yeah.
Wait, go up. What, Shopify Cash? So you can like basically grow your business by sustainably with pay per sale acquisition programs that let you boost Shop Cash customers. What the hell does this mean, Joe?
I don't know.
Is it like what the hell was that?
Oh, like a gift, I think it's like a gift card.
Oh, so you can give your grandma Shopify cash and then she can go on any Shopify store and use it.
Something like that. Or maybe you can give some Shopify cash back to your customers. I'm not totally
Shopify
sure.
Shopify cash back, I think, would be really cool.
Yeah.
Exclusive to Shopify Plus. So we'll have to play around with that and see what that means and get back to people.
Maybe we'll do a separate video on that once we get deep into that, because it's not really enough information here. So Shopify audiences lets you find, moving on to audiences now. Now you can, so you can export your audiences to use on Google Ad Network, Pinterest, and Facebook, which might be pretty interesting. I'm not really sure what that's going to be. We should definitely look into Shopify audiences, because that's something that I never even heard of, honestly. I'm not going to lie to you, Mike. I got to pee so bad. This is going to be such a long video, longer than I expected.
How much are we not even halfway through the page, Joe?
No.
Holy cannoli. Well, I think a lot of this is going to be skippable, but there was something I wanted to cover here. I mean, this is shipping insurance, run your business, granular permissions. Damn, Shopify tax. Here, Joe, why don't you scroll up? You go pee, take a break. I want to talk about something. So,
all right,
go back to where we were before you leave. Go up a little bit more. Go up a little bit more. Capture emails with Shopify forms.
All right. Go nuts.
Go pee. So now Shopify is going to be rolling out what looks like to be their own email capture service. And on Shopify Plus for a while, we've been seeing Shopify Plus, one of the major things about it is it gives you the ability to kind of create flows and automate things inside your store. So for example, you can create a flow that if somebody is a customer lands on your website, if they're looking at product A, then you can serve them, say, an upsell for product B, or you can show it somewhere on the bottom. Basically, you have total customizability over the experience someone has inside your website, but it applies to backend things. It applies to post-purchase stuff. You could really dream it up, and it's just, again, total customizability for your store. The one thing that they didn't have was the ability to collect emails and allow that to integrate into these different flows. So now if Shopify has their own email capture service, number one, you can now send emails in Shopify. So things like Privy, things like Klaviyo, they might be going out the window soon because you could just do it all in-house with Shopify and it'll probably be cheaper. You know, paying the Klaviyo's prices, which is a email marketing software for e-commerce. Klaviyo's prices are absolute nonsense. Like, we have 10,000 subscribers, say on one store, on one of our bigger stores that we sold, we had like 20,000. And the amount of money Klaviyo would have wanted to send out an email blast to 20,000 people, I think it was in the thousands of dollars a month. And it's absolutely nuts. But really the great thing here, Shopify Forms, it'll be a lot easier to integrate with the layout of the page. I mean, just like you saw, somebody use their the facial recognition, and then it put in their ShopPay email, and boom, they signed up. So less friction to sign up to email lists, and that is going to be amazing. I'm actually very excited to see what this brings. What's going on, Joe?
Yeah, no, that is interesting. You know, Mike, I wanted to sell our main store this year, but with all this with stuff coming out, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, because like I was saying, you can now use this and do different automations right inside Shopify and with like Shopify Flow to, you know, because now we could see, okay, this customer is looking at this. They get a pop-up for this. They get an email. You know, it's so much more customizable now that it's within Shopify. So you can get a lot of granular, a lot more granular.
Yeah, marketing automations for re-engagement.
So they really want to be the one-stop shop for everything.
Yeah, so with these, they're letting you customize, you know, re-engage by customizing things within your emails.
A ShopPay checkout button in any email campaign.
Wow.
In Shopify email. This is what I'm saying. They're signing up on Shopify. They're getting an email that there's a ShopPay checkout button in the email. I didn't read all the way through this when we started doing this, before we started doing this video, Joe. I'm actually pretty blown away by this. I think it's going to have some pretty sick implications.
It's nice to know they're doing something.
Yeah, because what else were they doing? I don't know. They change colors of the back end every 2 months. For what? At least we know now.
Uh-oh. I see what's coming next for all our crypto bros.
Create token gated experiences. I don't even want to get into this. I don't even know what.
Yeah.
Token gated e-commerce. We need a token gate of our own.
So now we're talking stuff about fulfillment. So
this is really not going to be that relevant to us.
This is the shop promise thing again. They have distribution hubs and fulfillment centers.
Zero capital investment needed.
Hold on a second. So are you saying that call me behind the times. I didn't really know that Shopify had a fulfillment network.
I didn't know either.
So if they have this, does that mean you could do private label like on Shopify without having to worry about the logistics? Like without sending your products to FBA, you can have a situation where you're shipping out stuff?
I guess so. That's the first time I'm hearing about it too.
I feel like that has implications.
A lot of implications on this video. Yeah, because they're really gunning for Amazon here, right? They want to have the same sort of fulfillment promises as Amazon. And that could deliver a big blow. Pause. If you go on a regular website and they're offering these really enticing shipping options, because a lot of people don't want to sell their stuff on Amazon. The return policy is bad. Amazon takes a huge cut. All these things. So,
yeah. I feel like this could open up really a whole new avenue outside of high ticket dropshipping. It's going to require some capital, which you probably shouldn't invest if you don't have the high ticket dropshipping experience. But for people that are experienced, you know, it could allow for private labeling that uses Google Ads, that uses SEO, that uses all of the tools that we think are the best tools out there for selling online, and not have to worry about logistics.
Right. Because another big thing about Amazon is you can't run Google Ads to your Amazon products kind of in a straightforward fashion. Maybe you could do it in a convoluted way, but with this, yeah, say you're selling the bar stools, you know exactly this one bar stool with the lace back, and it's got, you know, all this cushion type. You can make that product, or, you know, have somewhere overseas make it, ship it right to the Shopify fulfillment center. And now you can advertise for this product. You could offer, hey, 2-day shipping. This is all happening on your website. And then someone orders it, and then Shopify fulfills it.
Yeah. And let me tell you, I'm going to throw an idea out there for all you listeners. You have to explore this more, because I don't really know much about Shopify logistics, but I would approach this the same way that I would approach doing high ticket dropshipping. Whereas I would bring in or buy a bunch of something like super boring, like a bunch of slop sinks or something. And then, you know, advertise for it and rank for it. That's how I would do it. Like, I don't think you need to go crazy with stuff like this, because I think this will open the door to dominating a lot of search queries. If you're wanting to do private label, it just opens up that door, I think.
And it's not that you can't even sell on Amazon with this. You can, and you maybe pay a little bit of an extra fee, but it opens up the door. Yeah. You can have your own website. You could have all these extra things that could be cool. So it's a bit outside of scope for high ticket dropshipping, but we'll have to see what comes of this.
I mean, it's definitely interesting, because I've always felt that, you know, out of all the online businesses that we talk about, you got blogging, which you would get customers through affiliate or through dropshipping. And I feel like if you can easily bring your own products in, and you have a niche site about something like slop sinks, you know, something that's cheap, you know, somewhat expensive, no really crazy parts about it, you know, not hard to break, it doesn't require anything special. Like, you just buy the product, rank for it. You know, I think there's a lot of opportunity with this.
Right. And think about what that does to your website valuation, because it's not just a website now. Now it's a brand.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's really what these big aggregators like to slop up, no pun intended, is they want a brand. And you'll get a lot higher multiple if you're selling a brand of slop sinks. They want access to that brand versus just a website about slop sinks.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
The wheels are turning, Joe. We'll say that.
Yeah. Smart order routing. Whether you're managing your own locations or partially outsourcing fulfillment, now you can reduce shipping costs and ship faster by routing orders to the most optimal location. Prioritize certain locations.
This isn't that relevant.
Yeah, I don't really know what
this is. Yeah, this is now getting into, like, if you have inventory, how you can. Right.
Let's not cover too much about inventory on here.
Yeah,
I feel like it's out of the scope of what we recommend for a newcomer and what we teach. All right, granular permissions. Connects to OpenAI. Oh my God.
See, this, I was explaining Shopify Flow a little bit when you were taking a piss.
Yeah.
But I was saying you could really do anything inside of Shopify with the right flow. But go up. Yeah, well, what the hell was it even saying? So go down.
Oh, sorry. Wait. Sorry, I got lost.
Okay. Scheduling with Shopify Flow. It's ridiculous they're just adding that now. Because the huge issue with Shopify Flow was you couldn't do anything based on time. So a basic flow that we like to have is we like to use manual capture for our stores. That way, in case a customer cancels or there's an issue within the first 7 days, we can cancel the order and there's no fee. Like, because when you capture an order, Shopify is going to take their 2% fee for the payment. And then if you refund the customer, you lose that 2% fee. So if you do manual capture within your store, it just authorizes the charge and then you have to manually capture it in order to collect the payment and, you know, the fees charge, everything like that. So what I used to want is you have the order, and then after 6 days, if the order is not fulfilled, it will automatically be captured. That way you don't worry about missing a payment or missing a capturing within the window. It's automatically captured if it's fulfilled. And that way, you know, everything is on autopilot. But they had no way to say, okay, within 6 days, do this. So now they do with the scheduling feature.
That's good. I'm thinking about, honestly, I'm so impressed with all this. I'm checking the Shopify stock price. You know, obviously we don't give professional financial advice here, but I might maybe think about scooping some up because I feel like
the Shopify Flow AI connector, not to cut you off, Joe, what does this even mean? With new branded OpenAI Action, now you can use Shopify Flow to send text prompts and configuration parameters to GPT and get back AI-generated text. So what you could do is if a customer abandons a checkout because now they're going to be signing up with Shopify forms, you could have a flow. If a customer abandons a checkout and it's for this product or this type of product, you send a message to ChatGPT and say, hey, come up with 300 words about why they should go buy this product right now. And then you can send them an email or a text message with, hey, your cart's about to expire. Here's the great things about this product. And then boom, Shop Pay, checkout button in the email.
Yeah. Very interesting. Very. When are they launching all this? I guess the winter, right? Oh, it's out already?
I saw one thing that said it was coming soon. So I'm assuming this is all going to be rolled out. Either it's already out or within the next couple months.
Yeah, well, it says, I guess it is winter, right?
Yeah, we're in winter.
All right, so Shopify tax. I mean, we won't really talk too much about that. Shopify mobile app improvements. Redesign Shopify app store. I mean,
now we're two. Is this just...
This is beyond the scope of what...
I'm glazing over looking at that.
Globally deployed Shopify cart. Oh, so... Yeah. Built on the same infrastructure as storefront. So we talked about before the CDN and load times and stuff like that. So I guess what I didn't realize is that the cart page, I think, was always on like a separate thing.
Oh, so when basically someone would have to go to their cart page, or they'd have to, like, someone says, okay, look at my cart, it would have to ping this one area, this one CDN, to get the cart back and show you what was in it. So it would slow down the cart speed.
Something like that. Yeah. So I guess this what means is,
or run shared cart. You can run a shared cart across experiences like mobile and web.
Watch
the video, Joe. I mean, this is a long video. I didn't expect this, but I think this is just what it's going to be because.
Can you hear the sound?
I can't. No. Oh wait, it's low.
Let me see if I can make it.
Yeah, crank that.
Storefront, the cart, and checkout. While the cart is usually overlooked as just a simple basket used to collect products before purchase, the cart is actually where most of the buying decision-making happens. As items get added or removed, buyers revisit their cart multiple times, debating what and when to buy. And so it is essential they have access to accurate and real-time context in order to make their final purchase decision and proceed to checkout. That's why Shopify-powered carts are smart buyer assistants, deeply extensible, and built to provide fast and predictable performance no matter the size of your store or sale. They all do this while seamlessly integrating with the world's best checkout from Shopify. First, let's talk about what makes our cart smart. Shopify's cart ensures buyers have the unique context that they need to make informed buying decisions. They're optimized to display accurate and personalized discounts, tax, and shipping estimates.
This guy's got to get to the point.
They can also shortcut.
What were you saying?
I said he's got to get to the point.
Yeah. Well, I think we're getting to that now.
Cut the buyer to checkout by providing their known preferences, such as shipping details, payment methods, or accelerated wallets like ShopPay, all within the cart. Second, many merchants have unique business requirements and need the flexibility to extend their cart. That's why Shopify
So that's something that's unique. Like before with the regular checkout, you know, if you have like a sliding checkout situation, it would just, the only button that they could hit would be proceed to checkout. Now you could have Shop Pay right inside the cart.
Interesting.
You know what I'm talking about?
Sort of.
We'll go back. He shows it. So right there. So this is inside the cart page. You see that buy with Shop Pay? That was never an option.
Oh, that's never there?
That's never been an option. No.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. That's good.
Yeah.
It's in the cart. You can.
And the shipping details as well. It would not have that. Like, it had like shipping tax. So basically, now it'll have all the buying decision stuff within there. Which, again, going back to the one-page checkout thing, I don't know if that's good or not, because I feel like sometimes people would proceed to checkout just to see what the shipping and tax is going to be. And then by the time you're there, you're like, oh shit, you've taken these little micro commitments to get to that final stage and then you buy. So
well, yeah, I also don't know how they're going to know this, because like you got to enter where it's being shipped.
I think this actually integrates with them being able to sign in with Shop Pay.
Right. But still, like, you could ship it to two different locations.
Right. You know? So it's an estimate. I assume they could edit it later. But I think, again, they're trying to give them some sort of idea of what it's going to be before they just – within the cart. For better or for worse.
Yeah.
So let's – yeah, let me skip ahead a little bit.
Customize back-end logic so you can extend your cart further. If you need to validate or limit the number of items that a buyer can add to their cart – or if you need to validate an address or check for a PO box, can by using Shopify functions. And for even more extensibility, we've enabled support for meta fields on the cart. You can attach custom structured metadata and read it from a checkout extension for a seamless end-to-end buyer experience. Next, let's look at how the Shopify cart is built for speed and scale. Leveraging the same infrastructure as our storefronts, which are deployed globally to the edge, you get a consistent low latency experience to buyers around the world. Not only does it operate on local data and execute Shopify functions in a highly tuned and secure environment, and with no limits on carts and storefront APIs, all businesses can confidently launch their biggest flash sale and scale globally, knowing that their buyers will experience lightning fast load speeds on every device, wherever they are in the world. Shopify believes that identity driven commerce is the future of cart optimization. Soon, developers will be able to attach customer IDs or known buyer addresses to the cart, meaning buyers will be able to start shopping on one device.
That was the part
with three. Meaning buyers will be able to start shopping on one device and finish with another. And you'll be able to proactively leverage insights provided by the cart on opportunities to improve the buyer experience.
But how?
So if a buyer adds an item to a cart and you don't ship to their location, the cart will tell them in advance to avoid frustration or to be able to provide an alternative. The best end-to-end buying experience has a seamlessly integrated storefront, cart, and checkout with a cart that is smart, extensible, fast.
Okay.
And you probably have to be logged in some way, I would guess.
Yeah, I think this is all taking into account this whole Shop Pay login type thing, but that is huge. Because we talk about this all the time. How many people come in through mobile, they look at something, and then they come back on their computer. And right, this is what Amazon does, right? You have your Amazon app on your phone, and then you're logged in on Amazon on your computer. So they're watching what you're doing on all devices, and they can provide you with number one, just, I mean, the basic idea of something's in your cart on your phone, it should be on your cart on your computer.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really interesting. I didn't see any clarity on how they're going to do that, but it has to be with the shop pay login shit.
Yeah. So build for millions of buy with shop minis.
Oh my God.
What's a SDK? I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
Oh, well, wait.
I don't know. I don't think it's
so wrong. I guess if you're on Tick, extend your checkout. We just, I mean, we talked about customizing the checkout. Yeah, this is all kind of code
people
stuff.
Think we're nerds, though. People think we're nerds. Like, I don't even, I disagree with that because I don't know what the hell this stuff is. We're here to just make some sales, bada bing, bada boom, take it easy.
Well, I feel like maybe we're more like Dungeons and Dragon nerds rather than like code nerds.
I'm certainly in a dungeon right now in this basement I'm in, but the dragon part, I guess, made a lot of dragon shifter novels. That's a separate story.
All right. So I think we've kind of reached the end here. All this is kind of code stuff. I've had enough. Very, very interesting episode for sure.
Well, I think this puts Shopify far and away ahead of sites like WordPress, Magneto, whatever the hell you call it. Any of these other e-commerce storefronts that you can use to sell something online, Shopify is now far, far ahead. And to me, it's all about the Shop Pay and all the things that they're doing to integrate everything together to make Shopify websites behave more like Amazon. Because that is really, that was the big, I think, thing holding them back was just something like, if I add a product to my cart on my phone, it's not going to be there on my computer. It's like all these basic things that they were so far behind on that now they're catching up on. So I'm looking forward to a lot of these things, and I think it's going to mean a lot better results for dropshippers.
Yeah, I mean, so now I feel like one of the best times to get into it, and what better place to do that than buildassetsonline.com/class. We'll show you how we build and sell websites, how we've created over $1 million in online assets. I mean, probably at this point, well beyond $1 million, because we've sold more than $1 million worth of websites. So
yeah, exactly. And now, you know, with Shopify rolling out all these changes, once we actually integrate them into our own stores, we're certainly going to be showing people inside of our courses how to do that with their own store. And yeah, this is now going to be the best time to get involved, because they're almost merging all the great things about Amazon FBA and why that was such an appealing business model are now going to be available with Shopify. And you don't have to get all this inventory from China. You don't got to deal with all these logistical issues, but you could offer the same great checkout and user experiences that Amazon had. But now for a product that's $2,000, it costs you $1,200, boom, $800 margin. Where else can you replicate that? I don't know where else. buildassetsonline.com/class. Go there, free class, nothing to lose. But as always, take it easy.